going throughout my day. I didn't get back up here until lunchtime, so around 12:30, I just been to cry out to God and just ask Him, say, God, I need a word for your people. And I went from no word to so much word that I was trying to, I went from that saying, God, could you slow it down just a little bit? Because I can't get all this in. Just slow down. And He's like, no, I ain't going to slow it down. So 2 Kings chapter 4, just give you a little background on how the day went. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Y'all ready? So one person's ready? All right, good, good. Are y'all ready? All right. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be a bondman. Let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, have your way with this word. Change us, mold us, make us in what you'd have us to be from this word. We love you and we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now there cried a certain woman, wives of the sons of the prophets. She was raised amongst prophets. Her husband was a prophet. And he died. And she's got two sons. And she's about to lose them. She's desperate. She's desperate. Has anybody in here ever been in a situation in your life where God threw something at you that you didn't think you could handle? There's some people sitting here tonight that's been through a situation so heavy, so hurtful, so broken that you didn't think that you were going to make it out of it. And you focused on your loss. You focused on all that you had lost. And that's all you were focused on. But the thing about it is, I see in this word, it said she cried. Who'd she cry unto? She cried to the prophet. Who are you crying to? Listen, I'm being honest with you today. A lot of our Christianity, a lot of our churches, a lot of our worship, it's not real. It's kind of phony. It's kind of fake. It's kind of surface level. We won't dig into the deep part, the broken part. I mean, it's easy for us to say one word or do one thing, but are we serious about where we're getting to? And what I mean by that is, are we shedding tears? Are we broken? Are we upset? Are we upset to the point where our words don't even make sense? Our tears don't even make sense. We're so upset, we're so broken over sin, broken over family members lost, broken, not inconvenienced. Not inconvenienced, not, oh man, my son's really getting on my nerves. Well, this bill ain't really getting paid. I just don't know what they're going to do with the rest of their life. Not inconvenienced, not bothered, broken. Broken to the point where you're going to cry. And I'm not talking about crying and you're saying, preacher, that's all you want us to do is be broken. No, I think a broken and contrite spirit is what God hears. And I think a lot of time the church is just inconvenienced. We're just kind of, you know, bothered by it. We're not really serious. Because if we were serious about it, I don't know how many services we would go through where we weren't on the altar crying about situations and broken about situations, and God would really heal those situations. But a lot of times I believe we come to church and we're kind of wanting God to move, but if He inconveniences past our time and tells us to do something we're not comfortable with, will we really follow up? I don't know. But I like that she's crying to the right people in the right place. Because a lot of times if we cry to the wrong people. Have you ever done this? And I'm kind of going off script here. Have you ever done this? Have you ever made your complaint and made your cry to people that couldn't help you and don't even know God? I sat and talked and worried and made my complaint to people, and I started realizing, oh no, this is the same person I've been witnessing to. This is the same person I've been telling how great God is, and I'm making my complaint to them like I don't have another place to go with it. Like I can't go to the throne of grace, that I can't bypass every person I know. I don't have to have anybody pray for me. I don't have to have anybody intervene for me. I don't have to have anybody stand in for me. I can go right to glory. I can go right to the throne of grace. I can go there, but instead, I've made my plea to people that can't help. Why shouldn't I have went to God? straight foremost. I like her plea. Listen, we're cute tonight. We look good tonight. I know we do. We look great. But have you ever got to that place where you got serious and you told God how you really felt? No, I'm all right. I'm good. How you doing today, brother? How you doing today, sister? I'm good. Oh, we got a little quick. We got quick cliches for that. Well, if I told you, we'd be here all night. Why ain't you told God? Why ain't you dumped it out on God then, if it's like that? If it's like that, why ain't you poured it out before God? Why do you keep bringing it in here and taking it back out? Why is your circumstances at a place where you're not telling God? I love what she did. She said, hey, brother, remember your servant? Remember my husband? I thought about widows tonight when I was getting ready for this. Thought about how many widows we have in our church. Wonder how many times they said, but my husband was a man of God. He trusted God. He was our provider. He took care of us. He led us. And now he's gone. God, you let a void here. Do you not know my husband's gone? You left a void here. He was a preacher. He was a prophet. He was a man of God. I'm starting to feel what this prayer is all about. I'm right there in this season of my life. I'm starting to see a man of God who I thought would always stand, start to stumble and start to slow down. And I'm thinking, God, don't you know? Don't you know? Don't you understand? God does understand. He does know. Amen? I love that. And she says, wait a minute. God, I wish we'd... God, this is so good. You wouldn't believe this was wrote in before Jesus, right? Our preacher, who's a great preacher, great anointing man of God, even Elijah knew him. Amen? He ran with the big dogs. Amen? But the debtor's called. God, get out of church, right? The debtor's called. Wait a minute. Dad's gone. Husband's gone. There's some debt to be paid. Never mind. Let's just go home. You understand what I'm saying? There's some bills due. Have you ever been in a situation financially where you're looking at God and going, wait a minute, God, I prayed for you to help me. I trusted in you. I run up and down the roads. I went everywhere you told me to go. But now I'm sitting here and I don't know even how I'm going to pay the bills. And my husband's gone. It's getting so bad that I'm starting to lose control of these boys. The debtor's going to take them. Amen? Because we can't make the bills. The world's going to take my sons. God, I thought you was going to provide. I thought you was going to take care of me. At least when my husband was gone, I thought I could rely on my sons. But they're going to be gone too. You see it? I don't know if y'all ever listen to what I preach here, but just a few weeks ago, I preached a message. You know what I said? I said, whatever you focus on, you magnify. You know what she's magnifying right now? Loss. I lost him. I'm losing them. I'm losing everything I got. I can't pay my bills. Oh, my goodness. I'm going under. I'm going under. Man, this message is so right on, spot on. Some of y'all must be right in the midst of it. What are we going to do? She's made her plea. I don't want my boys to be slaves to this world. We've been preaching. My husband's been preaching. I've been preaching. I've been telling them at home, God's good. I'm a widow. I'm a widow now. And my boys aren't going the same way my husband went. Man, I love this stuff. And Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee? What do you want? You made your plea. What do you want? Can I wear you out just for another minute about this altar business? When we come up here and talk to God, have you told him the problem? Have you told him the situation? And have you even told him what you want? I'm telling you, being specific. Tell him exactly what you want. A lot of you are giving the complaint, but you're not saying, God, this is what I want you to do. Then wait. No, God, hey, I came up on an altar and I made a prayer request and I mean church is almost over and God, you ain't even moved yet. My son is not running here in this church and gave his life to the Lord. Hey, I haven't got the phone call in my cell yet. I didn't get a text that everything's going to be all right. The bank ain't called and said they've forgiven the loan yet. What in the world, God? Where are you at? Huh? When I first got this thing, I thought y'all'd be shouting and running to first this message. This is not the same message I got. I love verse 2, or the second part of verse 2. Listen, here's another one. Tell me what thou hast in thine house. And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything. Underline that, highlight it. In thine house. Oh! Have you ever got so negative you couldn't see your blessings? Can I be real bad right here and just say it? Can I get real weird with you? She didn't say my house. Never mind, sorry. Hey, could you go find all the blessings you got? I ain't got none. How about your house? Amen? How about your house? Is that a blessing? She didn't mention it. She's like, I ain't got anything. Anything. I got nothing worth anything. I've got no provision. I've got nothing that's worth it. When you get so bitter and so angry with God and you can't see and you focus on the loss, all you got is bitterness. Some of y'all would mess up and say something positive. Man, your whole family would mess up and go like, what in the world's wrong with you? Are you dying? Do we need to make some arrangements? Amen? If a kind word come over, if somebody said, hey, you got anything to be grateful for? Yeah, it's just a beautiful day. Somebody would pass out. Oh my gosh! What happened? You got your stuff in order? I ain't dying. I just thought I'd say something kind. There you go again. What's wrong? Never noticed you to say something positive. I've not known you to say something good. Since that big thing happened to you, since God's testing your faith, since He's trying you, I ain't noticed you to be saying anything positive. What's in your house? Not anything. Got anything in there? But then, I love how Elijah's doing this. He's refocusing her, and God will refocus you. Some of y'all thought you lost everything, but you got to focus on the positive. She said, save. That means accept. Except one little old pot of oil. Right? Focus on that. Focus on that. Amen? Some of y'all need to write that down. What is your pot of oil? Focus on that. What's that little bright spot? Even you. Golly. Even you who's bitter and angry and ain't got any good things to say about God. But if somebody held you right down to it and had to get you and say, well, I got that little pot of oil in there. I got that little dog of mine. Oh, I'm sorry. Some of you is cat people. I got that little crazy cat. Amen? Well, I got that job of mine. I'm still, paying my bill. I'm getting everything. I still got that food. I got that refrigerator. And every time I want to go in there and look into it, there might be a crumb or something in there. Goodness gracious. Somebody held you right down to it. Could you tell them, hey, there's something positive? Focus on that. Because this is what the man of God does. He starts hyper-focusing on the good. Hey, when you're in a dark place, when you're in a troubled place, when you've lost, when things are heavy, you can lose focus on any good thing. So, there's a few of you in here know exactly what I'm talking about, and you remain quiet. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. Hey, some of you in here, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you're not in it now, you've experienced. You've been in that real dark place, and nobody couldn't find light. You couldn't find good. You couldn't find happy. You couldn't find nothing that you was happy about. But when you did, man, once you did, that's what God wanted to do. He wanted to shift you off of all the darkness, all the pain, all the hurt, all the problem. Look at something. Look at a blessing in your life. Even when you're broken. Then He said, go borrow thy vessels abroad of all thy neighbors and empty vessels, borrow not a few. Get to work on that one blessing. Go, hey, don't focus on all the negative thought. Focus on your one blessing and go out and get all the vessels you can. Were you surprised where she found her blessing? Were you surprised where she found her salvation? Are you surprised at where she found where God was going to work? It was something she already had. Some of you don't think you're enough for God, but He's already going to use what you have. He's not wanting you to go out and become something you're not. He wants to use you and what you already have. So many times in the Bible, God used what the person already had. Moses' staff, He used it. It was what was in His hand. Amen? The pot of oil was in her house already. It was in her capability. It was in her ability to do it. Some of y'all are sitting there thinking, I can't wait till God makes me wise and smart and brilliant and talented and gives me all the things that I don't have. That's when He's going to start using me. Absolutely not. He's going to use you when you realize you already have everything you need to be used. It's that pot of oil. And then He says, go out and don't get a few of them. Don't go out and get a few of them. Get as many as you possibly can. Now see, I want to get you in this first 3 and 4 mentality. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all the vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. I love this part because every time God is going to do something big in your life, you're going to have to play a role in it. Oh, I hate to say it this way. There is no lazy river of Christianity. There is no place where you get in, you get your little floaty, and you get in the spiritual river of God, lean back and ride, and He just does it all. That don't exist. You're going to have to, we know it depends on God. We know that God does it all. We know He's the miracle worker. We know He's the salvation. But when He tells you to do whatever it is, don't balk at that. Go after that. He told them, go get the vessels. They didn't say, this don't make no doggone sense. Man, it's one pot of oil on a stove or a table. Don't make any sense. Why? We ain't going to need no. So I know some of you. I know how you are. We ain't going to need no more vessels. One pot. What, you pull from one pot into another pot? If we get 100 pots, well, just pump. Then we'll be out in no time. Well, everybody get a little? Right? That was not their thinking. See, when you start thinking on the blessings that you have, and you couple that with faith, and you do what God tells you to do, you don't even know why you're going so hard and getting so many vessels, because you know in your mind what you saw. But you know who told you to go do it. God. Somebody said, why do you keep doing what you're doing? Why are you going? Because I know what I saw, and now I know who told me to go do what I'm doing. And all I'm doing is going out and trying to get as many vessels as I can to fill up as many vessels as I can. You hear me? When I say vessels, that means people to me. Huh. We're just going to go as we get as many people as we can, and we're going to try to pour in them all we can. And I don't, well, but you only got this much. You only got this. That's not what He said to do. He didn't tell me to worry about what's in the pot. He didn't tell me to worry about the original pot. He just told me to go get some new pots. Are y'all hearing me? And they did it. I like this part of the Bible. It's silent. Listen, it'd be good right here if you learn this. Be silent where the Bible's silent. We take liberty sometimes with the Word of God. Oh, it didn't say nothing, so I'll go ahead and make up what it said. No, if it ain't said it, just shut up about it. They didn't complain. They didn't murmur. They didn't stammer. They didn't stumble at God's Word. Go get some pots. They did. And the title of this message tonight is Shut the Front Door. I see some where y'all are at. Some of y'all spiritual. I was worried about the title because I was worried about it. But we move on. Listen to what He says in verse 4. When thou art come in the house, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out in all the vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Can I handle this kind of stuff? I hope you can. For the last year, I've seen people come into our church, and I've seen some of them leave. But I've seen some of them that have come to the place where God was dealing with them. So stout, so strong, they would come to me and say, God's dealing with me, and He's dealing with me about my salvation, but I think I'm already saved. All right? Now, you know what I tell them? I said, if God's dealing with you about your salvation, you need to deal with that. God is the only one who deals with you and convicts you of your sin unto salvation. The devil don't do that. And you can see conviction all over them. You can see their heart open to God. And you know what they did? They didn't shut the door on the opportunity. They didn't shut the door on the opportunity. Now, you're thinking about shutting the door the other way. I'm thinking about this way. Jesus Christ says, I am the door. Amen? He said, when you go in there, see, sometimes when you go in, you can't leave the door cracked. You can't leave it open, because when you go in to do the thing that God tells you to do, if you leave the door open, there's going to be people come in, there's going to be spirits who come in there, and they're going to get right beside you and say, this is a waste of time. This is foolish. This don't make any sense. Taking a vessel and pouring it into other vessel, you're going to look foolish. Huh? I've seen people sit in this very church, and God's dealing with their heart, and they wouldn't come up here and get on this altar because they would look foolish. They wouldn't pour themselves out before God because they would look foolish. They couldn't pour themselves out before God because they didn't know if they could trust God. I'm just being real. If you don't like that, that's just the truth. We can't save anybody. We can't make anybody get what they need to get from God. You can't. You can wrestle people all day long. If they don't want to surrender, you can't make them surrender. If you try to force salvation on somebody, you ain't going to take it. It's not. God don't even do that. God says, I'll knock. He's a gentleman. He'll force you to get saved, and you can't force nobody to get saved. But you can tell a man you're dancing with a dangerous place. You're dancing in a dangerous place. You might as well surrender, because where you're going after this is a whole lot harder than what God wants to do in your life. Shut that door. If you'll shut that door, then you won't let people in, things in, your mind in. If you'll shut the door behind you and just do the business with God that God told you to do, then guess what? There'll be a great outcome. Some of y'all need to come up on this altar, and you need to shut the door behind you and forget everything that people said and what you said and what your past is and all that. And you need to do business with God. You need to talk to God. You need to dump it out before God. You need to say, God, I don't want to leave here the same. I don't want to think about who I was before I got on this altar. So, can I go ahead? I'm going to go a little bit deeper right there. I don't know, but you know what? There's been a time, I've seen a lot of things, but I don't see a lot of people just getting ugly before God. Are you too cool to get ugly before God? What I mean by ugly is, I mean, you know, praying ugly. Weeping, crying, broken before God. Because let me tell you something. If you're not broken before God, you'll be broken before the enemy. You'll be broken at the end of this life. Some of y'all came to this church tonight and you thought, well, I'm going to go up there and hang out on a Wednesday night. No, this dude's preaching brokenness into my life. Why? Get broken before God, he'll put you back together. If you don't get broken before God, he'll crush you and you'll never get it all together. You fall upon him, he'll break you. Break, you can fix. If you wait till the end of this world and he falls upon you, he'll crush you, and you can't fix crushed. God don't mind you being broken. He don't even mind your detractors making fun of you because you're broken. I don't mind when somebody thinks I'm broken and they think, man, I can't believe he's always talking about how broken and how we weep for God. Yeah, you know what? I let God defend me on that, because guess what? God told me to come that way. Amen? There's only one person in the Bible ever said anything out loud about somebody who came before God that was broken, and that was Judas. She was broken, and she came and she poured herself out before God, and he said, oh, look what the waste was made. Jesus said, you're not even mine. Amen? You're not even mine. She didn't defend herself. She didn't put up her dukes and get up and say, who you think you are? You know what she did? She kept worshiping. She kept pouring out to God. And you know who defended her? God. And you know the person that had the most problem with her being broken, who had all the religion in the world and could tell you where to take your money and tell you where to take your time, you know what happened to him? Every bit of his time and every bit of his money bought him a nice graveyard where he hung himself and died. Some people, they're not worth, you just don't even have to listen to them. Some people, the best thing you can do is just say, thank you, and move on. It's good. It's fun. Never mind. Shut the door. Verse 5, so he went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Can we go back up? Go back to 4. I just caught verse 4. Y'all want to look at it with me? Look at the back side of verse 4. It says, set aside that which is... Oh, come. All right. And they went in and they did it. Can you see this? Men, can y'all see this? Men, we're visual people. Can you see it? fill that one up, set it to the side. Y'all see it? Can you see it? Could you imagine what those boys were doing? Come on, y'all stay with me just right here. Listen. My daddy was a prophet. My daddy preached Jesus. My daddy preached God. My mom has faith enough to ask God. She made her plea before God. And guess what? Them boys were sitting there dumping out that stuff and seeing a vessel that should be empty. My God never empties. That's Jesus. You can pour Him out and pour Him out and pour Him out, and He never runs out. And He'll fill up everybody who comes, one after another. Sitting there pouring. Hey, bro. Hey, man, mine's full. Mine too. Another one's full. Oh my gosh, what daddy preached to us was real. What mama believed in is real. I'm starting to see it for myself. Some of y'all need to see God for yourself. Stop living on somebody else's profession. Stop living on somebody else's relationship with Jesus. Stop living on somebody else's salvation and get your own. Find out God's good for you. So many people talking about God and don't even know Him. Talking about what you need to do and how you need to do this. When they don't even know. God says, come into me, I'll show you everything. I thought I knew God before I got saved. I know nothing about Him. I thought I understood Him. I understood nothing. I thought I understood grace. I didn't. I thought I understood mercy. I didn't. Man, He said, I forgive you of everything. And I'll pay your sin debt. I'll give you mercy. I won't punish you. I'll give you grace. I won't hold you accountable. I'll pay the debt. Whew. I'll pay the debt. Come. Y'all don't understand this whole scripture is about Jesus? There was a pot of oil, that's Jesus. There were some boys who were about to go into slavery, that's us. There was a debtor, his name's Satan. He has to get paid or you go into slavery. Jesus said, I'll be the thing between you. If you pour me out into your life, I'll pay the debtor. I'll take away the debt. What you owe will be paid. Man, you don't even understand what I'm saying. Them boys were pouring out their vessels, and they were pouring out what was going to be paying their debt. They were seeing their salvation happen right in front of them. They're going, man, if we don't pay this debtor, we're going down, down, down. Every vessel that got filled, they were like, oh my God, we're being set free. Can I go a little further? Buy a vessel that don't even look honorable. Buy all that we took for granted. What do you got in your house worth anything? Little old pot with a little oil in it. What are you talking about? Are you talking about Jesus? Yeah, He didn't look like much on this earth, but He was full of the good stuff. And when He was broken and He poured out the good stuff, praise God, we found out He was the most valuable thing we ever had. We thought we had Jesus, and we thought, we got a little Jesus. You got the greatest thing. You got the royal diadem tied up in your home, tied up in your body. It just don't look like much when you first see it. But once you really get a look at it, you realize you got the greatest thing this earth needs. You're the richest man or woman on the face of the planet. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is no vessels more. And the oil stayed. Did you notice the oil didn't stop until the vessels stopped coming? Listen, the oil won't ever stop until the vessels stop coming. Amen? There's enough for everybody. Are y'all ready for this? Let's all stand. As they come get a song, let's all stand. I want to give you this last verse. I want you to hear this. Then she came and told the man of God, hey, if God's done something good in your life, why not tell somebody? Why not tell somebody? I don't care who you tell, just tell somebody. Amen? Tell your mom, tell your dad, tell your brother, tell your sister, tell somebody that you, maybe even Matt like this one, tell the person who told you first. Amen? Are you hearing me? Watch this right here. And he said, go. Sell the oil. Remember where it started. Remember where it started? You got anything in your house? Nothing. Just a little pot of oil. Except, golly, y'all should make that your little verse of the year. Except a little old pot with some oil in it. That except becomes everything. Amen? This is what he says. That same oil, that same little pot, go sell that and pay the debt. Pay the what? Pay the debt. Okay, you good? It's good. It's good when you get saved, right? And your debt's clean. But then he says, live. Huh? Wait a minute. We're getting saved. We're going to get saved from hell. We're going to get our eternity took care of. Yeah, but I'll take care of you here too. Not just in heaven, but right here on earth. You got your debt paid. Now live. Now live for me. God said, hey, I gave you a dying sacrifice on Calvary. I want you to be a living sacrifice for me. That's all I ask. I was a dead one. Can you just live for me? And thy children of thy rest. Let me break it down in English terms. I love that, the way it says it, but let me tell you like this. That paid it all. You can live the rest of your life on it. I'm living the rest of my life on it. That thing I said, well, I got a Bible back there in my house. Except I had, you know, I talked to Jesus. Yeah, once you did that, you can pay your sin debt and you can live not just for a period of time, but you can live the rest of it on it. Has any of you made that deal? If you ain't made that deal, come make that deal.